You're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Centre. For more information, visit www.lmc.org.au.
Well, I've discovered something this morning. I like jam donuts. Anybody else? I haven't had a jam donut for years. Very nice indeed. Oh, lovely. Fathers, have your kids ever made you feel like this? Have you ever felt like that? Or maybe you're a little bit more like me. Your kids made you almost tear your hair out, you know, rip your hair out. The kids, what can I do with these kids? These kids are getting under my skin. What on earth can I do? Fathers, maybe you feel like you've been left on the shelf. Ever felt like that? You know, as the kids get older, they know everything. You know nothing. But they seem to know everything. Well, they think they know everything. Not just, maybe you feel you're not just left on the shelf. Maybe you feel you've been put on the shelf. Ever felt that? Kids have put you on the shelf. It's all right, Dad. We understand you're getting old. We'll teach you. We'll show you how it all works. Felt like that? Can you remember when a web was something that spiders made? Twitter? Well, birds did that. Facebook? Getting your face into the pages of a book and maybe even reading it. Instagram? iCloud? What is all that? What is all those? What does it all mean? My kids, my grandkids, and I often, when I say my kids, I mean, I'm talking about my grandkids, come and say, Granda, hashtag ancient. You see, all the young people are laughing over here. you guys are going to ask them what that means. But it's not hard to work it out. Granda, I think you're getting pretty ancient. I think that's maybe what it means. And then they come to me and they say, Granda, we are going viral. I said, you need to see a doctor. This could be infectious. These are the things that we've got to, you know, as fathers, these are things we're hitting, coming up against every day. Do you know that there are no perfect fathers? Perfect parenting is an impossible dream. But powerful dads, say it with me, powerful parenting is an attainable reality. You can be, yes, dads, you can be a powerful dad. Do you want to be a powerful dad? Well, there's some things you got to really look at. One is, to be a dad is a challenge. It's an awesome responsibility. It's a great opportunity. It can be very dangerous, but it's a wonderful reward. Wonderful reward. Maybe today you're feeling a little bit like this guy. You're hanging on by the skin of your teeth or by your fingernails, saying, I hope I get through this parenting thing. I hope my kids actually make it. I don't kill them before they get into teenagers. But you know, there's only one way to be a powerful parent. And that is we, each one of us, and this is including moms, dads, young people, we need to learn to plug in to the power source. If you want power, you plug in and you switch on. And the power comes from the, well, what is it? The energy company that will charge you for it. But you know, if you blow a fuse, you're not going to have much power. Blow a fuse, it's all over. We are inclined, in fact, as you get older, we are inclined to want to go back to the old ways. Now, the old ways are very hard. There you are with a screwdriver trying to get that screw in. But if we plug in, switch on, it's easy. The power drill, easy. Chris will tell you that. Isn't that right, Chris? Bunnings, do a great job supplying you with the power that will make life easy. We as dads, moms and dads, we need to plug in, plug into the one who is the source of all power, the Lord Himself, our Heavenly Father, the great power source. Lord, help us this morning to see that we can, each one of us, we can plug in to your power and we can become the people that you want us to be. Moms, do you remember how hard it was to make salad? You know, the knuckles used to get, you know, a bit bleeding. And then we discovered we could pull out the old, food processor. I don't even hardly know what to call it. Food processor. You feed it in there. It's all done for you. It's easy. The old way or the new way? Which is it going to be? Fathers, we must learn to plug into the power source and look to Him for everything that we need. Now, this morning, we want to share with you some lessons that we have learned, and some lessons that we're still learning, and believe me, we're still learning these, lessons learned from the perfect Father, our Heavenly Father. Lord, you are the one that we need to run to when things go wrong. And the first, the number one, and we heard it this morning already from the word that the Lord gave us. And what was that word? What was it? What came through? The word that came through was trust. Trust in the Lord. Put your trust in Him. He will supply all of your needs. He will give you everything that you need. We need to put our trust in God. Now, early on in our ministry, the Lord said to us, we were saying, Lord, where will our provision come from? Where will we get things? And the Lord said, made it very, very clear, it is enough to ask the Father. Do you know that is still true today for each one of us? It is enough to ask the Father. You see, we think we know what we want, but God knows what we need, and He will always, always supply our needs. You know, in our ministry, as we were, you know, Bible clubs, and Joy Simpson will remember, your mom used to come and play the accordion at our Bible club in the school, Friday Bible club. We saw hundreds of children come through that. Hundreds of children come through that Bible club. I don't know. I don't know what we were doing half time, but God sent them along. And God blessed them, and we saw many of them give their lives to the Lord. But then we decided, in one of our prayer times together, you know how you pray things and then you think, I wonder why I prayed that? And we both prayed, Lord, if our home was paid off, if our mortgage was clear, we could go full time. Ever prayed anything like that? Do you know, after we prayed that, 3 months later, a young couple came to us and said, we have got to apologize to you. We should have been here 3 months ago. We said, excuse me? Yes, they said, we should have come to you 3 months ago because God, the wife said, God spoke to me and told me that we had to pay off your mortgage. And the dad said, the Lord spoke to me and told me the same thing, but it took us 3 months to get together to share with each other what God was saying. Now, the good lesson is talk to your wife, talk to your husband, find out what God is saying to them. But they came to us and they came with a check and they said, this is the money to pay off your mortgage. Do you know how much you owe on your house? I said, no, don't know. Wouldn't have a clue. Well, they said, we feel that God has given us this figure. Now we went. I went to the bank with that check. And that check paid off our mortgage. And we had $100 over to pay the legal fees. A miracle? We've been talking about miracles last week, this week. God is a God who looks after us and cares for all of our needs. He's well able to do more than we can ask or think. Now, our home was paid off. Wonderful. But we suddenly realized we still have got to pay bills. We've got to, you know, we've got to live. We've got to eat, running expenses. We've got to do things. And this is where we were learning to trust God in everything that we do. One time, I can remember at home, we were in the house. We had a family coming from New Zealand. They were going to the Philippines as missionaries. And this family were coming and we had no food in the house. I mean, we had nothing. We were rock bottom. The family came and Dorothy said, "What are we going to do?" I said, it got closer and closer to dinner time. And I said, "Dorothy, set the table." And Dorothy said, "If I set the table, these people will think that they're going to get dinner. And we don't have any dinner." I thought, well, you know, what have we got to do? We've got to trust God. And Dorothy said, "You've been reading too many George Mueller books." That's what George Mueller did. He said, set the table, then God sent the food. Well, and Dorothy's, you know, very good at telling you, God doesn't do the same thing twice. I said, but maybe he does. Maybe he will. So Dorothy set the table, got the table set, no smell of food from the kitchen, nothing. Dorothy sat down and a knock came to the door. Dorothy got up, ran to the door as quick as she could, opened the door. There's a lady standing there saying, "You won't believe this, but I think God has spoken to me." And Dorothy said, "What did he say?" Well, you're going to laugh. Dorothy said, "Tell me anyway." "Well, I think the Lord said to me, the gardeners need chickens." And Dorothy said, "Did you bring them?" And laughed. And she said, "Yes, but I told you would laugh." They went out to the car. That lady opened the boot of her car. And she had chickens. She had frozen chicken. She had meat pies. She had pavlovas. She had cake, biscuits, bread, butter, milk, cereal. And Dorothy said, "I thought God said chickens." "Well," she said, "when I got to the fridge, when I got to the pantry, the Lord said, just keep going." Do you know, that lady emptied her cupboards and just blessed us abundantly. There were three people blessed that day. You see, that lady, for the first time in her life, realized that she could hear from God. You know, often we hear from God, but we don't act on it. It's only when you act that it's confirmed. And here she was, she said, "Oh, I'm so blessed. I actually heard, I got it right." And she acted on it. She was blessed. The family who were going to the Philippines to be missionaries, they were blessed abundantly because they said, if God can supply for you, he can supply for us. And of course, we were blessed. We had enough food for the next 3 weeks in the house. You see, we must trust in the Lord. The Bible says in Proverbs 3 and verse 5 and 6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding." Don't try to work it all out here in the head. "In all your ways, submit to him. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will make your paths straight," or "he will direct your every path." We must trust in the Lord. Number one. Number two, trust is so very, very important. And I think that's what God is saying to us this morning. Trust him. Dads, trust the Lord for your kids. Pray with them. Talk to them. Love them. Tell them you're not perfect. Have you ever apologized to your kids? "Oh, I've done that many times. I've fallen on my knees and said, Lord," said, "Tara, Paul, I'm sorry. I've lost it again. I lost my temper with you. I shouldn't have done that." And they put your arms around you and they say, "It's all right, Dad. We know what you're like." And they do. Be honest with them. So trust God. God can do more than you can ask or think. Then number two, God wants to teach us and has been teaching us thankfulness. Being grateful for everything that he sends across your path and everybody that he sends across your path. Do you know that some people are easier to love than others? Discovered that? Some people you just flick with. Oh, they are lovely. Other people say, can't stand that person. Well, do you know, with kids, in kids' ministry, I mean, kids are lovely. But some are not as easy to love as others. Yes, I can remember a camp way up in central New South Wales. And we had this big marquee, a big tent, and we were getting something like 100, 120 kids into that tent every night. And this boy came, he was a big boy, big in every way. And he was about 11 or 12. He was, I mean, bigger than Dorothy, probably the same, maybe bigger than me. And that boy came along, and Dorothy said, would you keep him away from me? You know? I said, well, because he's got, look, his nose is always running. He never has a handkerchief. He doesn't smell good. He can't stand up straight. He's always hanging on you, putting his arms around you, and he's rubbing his hands on you. And, I'm having difficulty with this boy. If only he didn't come. Do you know that boy? He was the first one there. He was the last to leave. And some of his language was not the best either, you know. He had this, you know, this problem. But every altar call, he was up the front. He wanted to be prayed for everything. Do you know that boy gave his life to Jesus in that week? Now, we didn't see a huge change on the outside. He was always there. Would you pray for my swearing? I find out the boys all talk like this at school. Would you pray for me? Yeah, of course we'll pray. God wants to help you with this. And we were showing him as much love as we possibly could. But he was hard to love, really hard to love. But he was always, always there. At the end of that week, we were packing up to go home. And he was lying on the chairs crying. Now, at that stage, all we wanted to do was pack up, go home. You know, okay, Broderick, we've got to go, you know, we've got to go. The pastor came in, saw this boy crying, sat down beside him and said, "What's the matter, son? Why are you crying?" He said, "Well, I'm crying because I don't want Uncle Ken and Auntie Dorothy to go." "Why not?" "Because they're the only ones that loved me even when I was bad." Now, right there, we said, "Lord, thank you that he didn't see what was in our hearts. He didn't see the problem we were having. But God was doing a work not only in his life, but God was doing a work in our lives to give thanks for everyone that God sends across your path, your children. The good ones and the naughty ones. I love the naughty ones. I don't know about you. You know, I'm just thinking about a boy, Stephen, in our Bible club in Grimshaw Primary School. Stephen was a rascal. Stephen came and he brought his mates with him. They sat at the back row and they came just to cause problems. His mates all followed Stephen. If Stephen coughed, they all coughed. You know what it's like. If Stephen laughed, they all laughed. If Stephen fell off a chair, his mates would all fall off a chair. He came to cause problems in the meeting. And Dorothy said, "If only that boy didn't come to our Bible club, you know, we could have peace. We could have a good teaching session if he didn't come." I said, "Dorothy, we need to give thanks. Thanks for Stephen. Lord, bless him." Do you know that boy Stephen, over a period of time, it took many, many, many months, but he kept coming. He enjoyed the idea of getting us upset. Do you know, he finally gave his life to Jesus. And it doesn't always happen, but there was a dramatic change, an immediate change in his life. From sitting at the back, he was now sitting at the front. He was listening. If anyone caused any problems, he would turn around and say, "Shh, shh, Auntie Dorothy speaking." He was a leader in the making. There he was. at the front. One afternoon, this lady arrived with a little girl in her arms, and she came over to me and she said, "I'm Stephen's mom, and I would like to know, what have you done with my Stephen?" I said, "Oh, please, I haven't done anything to you, Stephen. I mean, God has changed him, you know." And she said, "I know that." She said, "He's a different boy. He's actually doing what he's told now." I said, "Oh, that's great." And she said, "Well, I've come here because Stephen has changed so much. Can you do anything with this one?" You know, God changes. We need to learn to give thanks in all things. In Thessalonians 5, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18, it says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, no matter where you find you." And we have found ourselves in some very unusual and difficult situations. But give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. God's will for you. So you might as well thank him. You might as well say yes. Dorothy, come up here, because something, after trusting God, you've got to learn to trust him, learn to thank him. Then we need, and we all need this, especially in children's work, especially to be a dad today, to be a mom today. We need what? We need a sense of humor.
Oh my goodness. I live with a man whose first priority every morning when he wakes up is to see how long it takes to make Dorothy laugh. I present him with a challenge on occasion, but he always, always makes it. You know, humor is so important. You might not think of our heavenly dad as being humorous. For me, it took a long time to learn that, because I grew up in a church that was very legalistic, Pentecostal, and every week we were preached hellfire and brimstone. Now, after a while, you get to the stage where you don't think God has got a sense of humor anymore, after you listen to that. But then I discovered that God had so many facets to his character. He was awesome. He was loving. He was kind. He was generous. And he really did have an awesome sense of humor. You just have to look at creation to see that. Can you imagine him on the days when he created the awesome things that he made? I mean, look at this little guy. You know, I think he just said, "Oh, I think I'll put a mustache on this one." You know, this is called a blobfish. I mean, who makes these things? This is God. And then he says, "I'm going to make this little mole, but I'm going to give him a very special nose." And he does this. He puts a star on its nose. I mean, God is just awesome. He really has got a sense of humor. Now, I discovered this through many little things in my life, getting to know God and God's sense of humor and how he's interested in the little things in our life. God's not just interested in the big things. He's interested in the tiny little details of our life. He really, really is. Now, I want to share this testimony with you because it's so real to me. We were in New Zealand. We were sleeping in a caravan on the site of a Bible college. We had been out all day working. We hadn't had anything to eat. We came back in. We were exhausted and tired, crawled into the bed in the caravan. And I turned to Ken and I said, "You know what I would love right now?" He said, "What?" I said, "Ken, I would really, really love a hamburger with the lot." Now, I'm not a hamburger girl. I would rather have one of Duncan's Thai green curries. But this night, I really, really, really wanted a hamburger with the lot. Ken, being the wonderful, loving, kind husband that he is, turned around and said, "Dorothy, go to sleep. You're chubby enough anyway. Now, ladies, I'm being kind to him. He didn't actually say chubby. He used the dreaded F word, fat. Now, that went down like a lead balloon, I can tell you. And I can just imagine my heavenly dad looking down at him and saying, "Well, buddy, I'm going to fix you." And I went, "Yay." I kid you not. 10 minutes later, and the town is actually 20 minutes away. So God had this set up way beforehand. You know, he answers before we even call. But 10 minutes later, knock on the caravan door. "Are you guys still awake?" Two of the young students. "We were in town tonight and we were thinking about you guys. And so we brought you back 2 hamburgers. Wait for it, with the lot." I tell you, I practically danced on the floor that night. And I looked at Ken and I said, "See, buddy, God doesn't think I'm too fat." Did I need that hamburger? Absolutely not. I did not need it. But have you ever given your kids something that they really didn't need? Just because you wanted to bless them? Our heavenly dad has got an awesome sense of humor. Dads, when your kids do awesome things, don't lose your sense of humor. Find the humor in it all. God is awesome. One of the and this beautiful scripture is just so beautiful in Proverbs 17:22. Says a happy heart, your kids want to see you laugh, is good medicine, and a cheerful mind works healing. But a broken spirit dries up the bones. You know, Ken has passed on his sense of humor to my grandson. He's 13 years old. We got a text message from him this morning at 7:30. "Happy Christmas, Granda. May God bless your soul as you preach on Easter. Your loving grandson, Jaden." Yeah, I thought, yeah, that's just like him. Sense of humor. God loves it. One of the other lessons that we learned as we were walking with God was the lesson of surrender. And we're still learning it. Very much at the minute. Surrendering things up to God. Do you know, you never, ever, ever lose out by surrendering to God. Ever. You know, the Word of God tells us in Romans 12:1, "I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." You know, the greatest ministry that any of us could ever have, the greatest ministry, is a ministry of worship to God. He is everything that we need. And we'll never miss out as we surrender our lives. We have gone to places in our lives that we never ever thought we'd ever go to. We've done things that we thought we could never ever do. But God was with us time and time again, proving that He will give us everything that we need.
You know, just thinking about humor, just one quick joke, if you don't mind. Can you imagine this? Ken and Dorothy lying in bed in the morning, and a voice comes, "Are you awake?" "No, I'm not awake. I'm asleep." "Are you awake?" "No, I'm sleeping too." "Well, if you're still sleeping, I think you should get up first and make the breakfast." I said, "Why me? What about you? You're my wife. I think you should get up first and make the breakfast." you should get out of bed first. And Dorothy said, no, you get out of bed first. And then Dorothy says the great words. Pastor Oxley says that you are the head of the home. And I think that the head of the home should get out of bed first. Well, my answer to that is, I've never seen anyone get out of bed head first. It's only a joke. It's only a joke, Pastor Oxley. Wait, you know, fathers, this Father's Day, you have probably got something that you're going to take back tomorrow to get changed, to exchange for something better. Oh, what, does that touch a nerve, does it? And some people find themselves, yes, the wrong size, the wrong color. It just doesn't, it's just not you. You want to exchange it for something better. Do you know, when you exchange something, it's always to get something better. But did you know that you can exchange with God, our heavenly daddy? And when we exchange with him, he will always give us something more than we can ask or think. Much, much better than we could think. Like this. God will find you when you're lost. He will give you strength when you're weak. He will give you joy when you're sad. He will give you courage when you're full of fear. He will lift you when you're down. He will comfort you when you're grieving. He will give you hope when you feel absolutely hopeless. When you feel like you can't go on, he will carry you. He will love you when you feel unloved. He will love you unconditionally. He will give you peace when you're stressed. He will heal you when you're sick. Say that with me. He will heal me when I'm sick. He will heal you when you're sick. He will deliver you from the enemy. He will provide for you when you're in need. He will release you from bondage. He will set you free because he is the perfect Father. Today, we need to come to him and ask him for help. Let's close our eyes. Maybe this morning, you need to exchange some things in your life with him. Some things that you're hassling with, some things that you're struggling with, you need to exchange it. Anger for his peace. Forgiveness. Oh, Lord, you're here this morning. And Lord, you're here to bless. Lord Jesus, you look down and you see us, Lord. And Lord, sometimes you laugh and Lord, sometimes you cry. But Lord, you love us unconditionally. And Lord, you desire that we will exchange our life for yours. Now, if you're here this morning, just before I pray, if you're exchanging, if you feel that you've got to exchange, if you want to exchange something with God, just give me a wave just before I pray. Yes, thank you. Thank you, many, many people. Lord, thank you. Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord. Your heart is here, Lord. And Lord, you're here, Lord, because you want to bless your people, Lord. You've already spoken to us and you've said, trust me, I can do all things. Lord, as we give of ourselves to you, as we surrender, as we submit to you, Lord Jesus, come, and Lord, change us from the inside out. Lord, come and exchange. Exchange. Exchange as we're willing to give. And Lord, this morning we do give, Lord. Lord, let your peace, let your blessing, oh Lord, let your forgiveness be upon each one. And Lord, if there's anyone here and they do not know you, Lord, may they open their heart. May you, Lord, refresh them. May you come in like a flood. And Lord, let them know that you are the source of all things. We can run to you, our Heavenly Father, and say, help us. Help us to be a better dad. Help us to be a better mom. Help us with our kids. Help us with our relationships. Lord, we ask this in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen. Amen.